Welcome to the healing power of your dreams on UK Health Radio with your dream divas, Teresa Chung
and Kelly Sullivan Walden. Each week, along with our recurring dream guest presenters and special guests, we'll explore the healing potential of your intuition by day and your dreams by night.
So join us
live each week
and let's discover the unexpected together.
Deep in your heart.
Hello, visionary dreamers. One half of your Dream Diva team here, Teresa Chung.
And the other half of the Dream Divas, Kelly Sullivan Walden. Hello, Teresa. I'm so excited about today's show.
You say that every week, Kelly, but today
I
have to agree, because what we're about to share is going to completely change the way you think again.
All right, so you've got my attention. I hope everybody else is listening too. So what is happening in the dream world? I think your backdrop might give us a clue.
Well, imagine this, not just humans, not just mammals, but octopuses. Yes, octopuses may actually be dreaming, Kelly.
That is so outrageous, and yet it's not, because I think I dreamed of an octopus last night, or was it dreaming about me? I don't know, but I fell in love with octopuses or octopi after watching the film My Octopus Teacher. But now there's evidence that they're dreaming. I mean, clearly, I have found my underwater spirit animal.
I know, and the fascinating part is researchers have captured stunning footage of octopi while they sleep. Their skin changes color and pattern rapidly, almost like they're cycling through experiences, hunting, hiding, camouflaging, as if they're reliving moments or even imagining new ones.
It's so incredible. It's like their dreams are playing out on their skin, like a living, breathing dream canvas. Imagine if we were like that. It's like we'd be broadcasting our subconscious in Technicolor. I think it's every dream interpreter's fantasy to be able to have that.
It is. And it's as though their inner world is visible, isn't it? And scientists believe this could be very similar to REM, rapid eye movement stage sleep in humans, the stage when most of vivid dreaming happens.
So dreams aren't just a human experience. It's something much deeper and much more universal.
And that's what I found so moving, Kelly. Dreaming is one of the great unifiers of life. Whether you're a human, an animal, or even an octopus, if you have a mind, you may have a dream.
And I think that's the message that we all need to hear right now. I think there's a healing in that, because beneath everything, all of our differences, we are all dreamers, whether we have two legs, eight legs, or a very fabulous set of tentacles.
Beautifully said, Kelly. And on that note, let's dive, get that, my punning, dreams love punning, let's dive deep into the dream world with our wonderful first guest today. Who is she, Kelly?
Oh my heavens, I'm going to wrap all eight of my tentacles around her. I'm so excited. I love this woman, Samantha Fay. She's a writer, podcaster, intuitive, Reiki master, and teacher who is passionate about helping people trust this and strengthen their intuition and connection to spirit. She's the author of Heavenly Alliance and The Awake Dreamer. And she co-hosts the very popular podcast, Psychic Teachers, which I've had the blessing of being on, I'm so grateful, with her friend Deb Bowen. And she also has the podcast Enlightened Empaths. And I haven't yet been on that one, so hey, just kidding.
Been on either. I've got podcast envy here, Kelly.
Hey, a little FOMO.
Margarita, we're here.
Exactly. So also, Samantha's work has been featured widely. She's a frequent presenter at the Edgar Cayce ARE, which stands for the Association for Research and Enlightenment. She's the perfect guest for our show today. I love how she bridges intuition and the grounded practicality of spirituality. Basically, she's our kind of person, cut from the same cloth. Can't wait to dive deep into the dream.
Welcome, Samantha. So delighted you're here today. And I hope you'll share some of your stunning precognitive dreams, because that's a special interest of mine with myself and Kelly. But Kelly, I know you want to dive in with the first question.
Oh, I have so many questions. Okay, first of all, Samantha, you're in both of your books, you reference this kind of incredible thing that happened to you, a precognitive dream about your husband. We can't go anywhere without you starting with that.
Okay, sure. I'm happy to dive into that, but just thank you so much for that beautiful introduction and the warm welcome. And you guys are welcome on my podcast anytime.
We're going to show up every week from now
Please
on.
do. Please
Samantha,
do.
this is recorded. Phil, Margarita, this is recorded. So we have her on record. Okay. And Andrew now. Is he on? Yes. So tell
So.
us about the dream, the precognitive dream you had about your husband. You had a whole bunch of precognitive dreams leading up to this, but this was
Yes,
terrifying.
yes, yes. So I always had a lot of precognitive dreams throughout my life, and I tended to take them pretty seriously and listen to them, and this one was no different. At the time, I was married, I had two little girls, I was very young, and I was just very happy in my life, you know? And I kept having this recurring dream of someone getting shot in the neck. And it would happen maybe twice a week for several months, and it would just be the same image of a bullet impacting a neck. And my husband at the time was a police sergeant, so of course I thought, uh-oh, this might be connected to him. So I had an Archangel Michael pendant made for him and blessed by our priest, and I had to insist that he wear his bulletproof vest, which just still baffles me to this day. He was always like, I'm too tough. But you know, maybe he was right, because unfortunately, in July of that year, he was shot by a criminal who had earlier tried to escape from jail. And when my ex-husband tasered him, the man responded and shot him in the neck. And I just remember sitting in the ICU waiting room, which, believe it or not, back then was called the bereavement room. Like, have some hope, hospital, you know?
Right.
So my sisters and I are sitting in that room, and my two best friends, it's like 3 in the morning, and we're waiting to hear if he's going to live or die. And it was touch and go for a very, very long time. But that first night, I remember my sisters and my friends said to me, Samantha, this is what you dreamt. This is what your dreams were trying to tell you. And so that was a life-changing moment for my family and me for obviously many reasons. But on a personal, spiritual level, it really impacted me because I had just always tried to be a good Catholic girl, you know? And I was a teacher and I got married and I had kids and I even had the white picket fence. Like, I was just trying to follow along and ignore my spirituality, ignore my intuition. And sitting there in that bereavement room, I just surrendered all of it. And I said, God, let that man live, but I will do whatever it is you want. And since then, I've really learned to not only trust my intuition, but to trust and follow my dreams.
Oh, wow. That story is so impactful. Oh, my goodness. I know we've got Margarita Mitchell Pollock, who probably has lots of questions. Would you like to jump in and ask Samantha a question, our producer journalist?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kelly Teresa. Samantha, I am a huge fan of yours. I would say go so far as to say I'm like a fangirl. I have been listening to your podcast for years. Yeah, I
Thank
feel like I
you.
know you. It's one of these kind of relationships where you have no idea who I am, and I know everything about you because I listen to every show that you've ever done. Which is why I'm so glad you're on here, because I think you are phenomenal. I would love to talk to you about your books, actually, because I know from listening to your journey that your path to publication wasn't always straightforward, was it? I know that you're a previous professor of English, you've taught English, you've always wanted to be a writer. Can you tell people at home that maybe they are wanting to be writers, they also are inspired by what you've achieved in your life, and also that you did it a bit later in life, and maybe tell that there's hope if you want to be a published writer, if you want to have a book, what would you say to the people listening?
Oh my gosh, I would love to do an entire podcast just on that question because I do think it's so important. There is one quote that I always had taped above my computer in my desk that I think saved me. It's Anita Shreve. And she said, the only difference between a published writer and an unpublished writer is the published writer never gave up. And I just really held on to that. And so I kept writing and I got very, very close to publication. I've had an agent throughout the years. I just couldn't really get there. And then Believe it or not, what really helped me was anger. And this is
Right.
something I use to help people because I think in the spiritual community, we're always taught to be like patient and kind and surrender and trust. And I had done all of that. And I had gotten as close as you can to traditional publishing and just wasn't getting all the way there. And one day I just got really mad. And I was like, you know what? This is just not right. And so I sent kind of a snarky email to two agents who had requested first chapters and had never gotten back to me. And the emails were nicely worded, but you could tell the tone was kind of like, what gives? And by the end of the day, I had offers of representation from both of them. So
Wow. Oh my gosh.
I think, when you talk about manifesting, like I always had this attitude of like, well, when it's meant to be, it'll happen and I'll just keep plugging along. And then one day I was like, no, I've put all the work, I've done everything, I've taken all the class, I've done all the stuff you're supposed to do. And I just was like, it's my time and my
Your
turn.
time. It was your
And
time.
that's when it really changed.
I love that. I want to say one thing about the positive use of anger in our spiritual world. I mean, we're going to be talking with Andrew Harvey later that it's, and we're going to be scrambling up the way we see masculine and feminine energies, and that's exciting. But one of the best dreams I ever had came from me asking my dreams first. I need help with this situation Dana and I, my husband, were going through. And I said, no, fix it. Just fix it. And the dream fixed it. So I think anger, if used correctly, can be such a help in our spiritual path.
I do too. I do too. Saint Augustine always says, hope has two beautiful sisters, and one of them is anger. And so I think we have to utilize that as well. So it's probably not the most conventional answer. I'm sorry about that. I
It's the
do think,
honest truth, and that's
yeah, it's just sometimes there are so many great writers out there, and I think that 90% of them give up too soon. So
Yeah,
my
keep
big piece of
going.
advice is keep doing it, keep writing, write from your truth, all that stuff we know. But at the end of the day, you just have to keep going and really and truly believe in yourself.
And
The road to
Teresa,
success
who
is
has
paved with failure, isn't it? I mean, it is. It truly
failure's information. It helps you course correct, doesn't it, Samantha? I love this. And also get a bit angry sometimes, think, I deserve this. I mean, it's not unholy or unsacred. Even Christ, as Andrew will tell us, a theologian turned over the temple tables in the temple in anger. Sometimes righteous indignation is just what is needed, and not staying silent when you feel you have a case. Thank you,
Yeah, well,
Teresa. I'm
it
so
just.
glad you jumped in for a second because I just have to put a little shout out for Teresa, who's written an ungodly amount of books. I mean, that's a horrible way
I'm
to
a
say
very
it.
angry person.
She's got many, many books, and her book, Twin Flame, comes out in the US. I believe it comes out on Monday. So there's a lot of American people that are listening, American folks that are listening to this right now. So go get your Twin Flame book. Okay, sorry, Teresa, you were about to
Thank
ask
you for
Samantha a
that, because
question.
I'm rubbish at self-promotion. So thank you, and I will return the favor when you have amazing books out
Thank you.
and
Okay.
everything. But carry on, please. I'm really engrossed in this conversation.
No, so intuition is a really big part of your work, and I know I really want us to have an example of something we can do. We can all the all us listeners can do to enhance our intuition along with our dream work. Is there something that we can do?
Oh gosh, yes, there are so many wonderful things I think we can do to enhance our intuition. But to connect it first to the dream state, I think it's so important to monitor what you do during the day to make sure you have vivid dreams at night. So anything you can do to connect to your intuition during the day, I do think is going to bleed over into your dreams. And my favorite exercise I always tell people is to just write a question that you're worried about, a problem or a decision you're debating. Write it down and put it in your pillowcase and read it every night before you go to sleep, whatever that question might be. Should I take this job, or should I go for this promotion, or should I try to join this group and read it and put it under your pillow before you go to bed. I always like to add crystals too, because I do think crystals can enhance our intuition and our dreams. So amethyst or unikite or howlite or lapis would be great. But that will definitely help you bend into that intuitive flow more easily. And then, obviously, connect to community. I think that was my biggest hurdle when I was learning my intuition, was I was doing it all on my own. I was reading everything I could get my hands on about intuition and mediumship and all of that, but I was doing it alone and in a little cocoon. And it wasn't until I took the brave step to go out and join an intuitive development circle that I found that community and was able to practice it in real time. Because it's one thing, a lot of people will say, like, oh, I'm thinking of a number from 1 to 10, and you guess it. Okay, what are you going to do with that? Right? But when you're in a community of like-minded people and you can do a sitting in the power exercise, you can have someone sit in the middle and tune in and get insight for them and have it validated in real time, that is so impactful for your confidence and courage.
Absolutely. Margarita, I know you're buzzing with
Yes,
questions.
I'm just
Five, only five
hearing
billion.
awe, Samantha. Honestly, you remind me of the Samantha in Bewitched. I imagine any minute you're just gonna, like, with your nose, just the good light just emanates from you, Samantha.
Thank
But
you.
yes, community. I know about your intuitive circles, because that leads me nicely to my next question with two other ladies that I adore and listen to. It's just your friends Denise and Deb, who you run the Enlightened Empaths podcast and Psychic Teachers podcast with. So my question is twofold. One, how did you meet these amazing, amazing women? And two, how have you sustained this spiritual friendship, which I think is spanning decades now? And what is the secret to that, especially when you're running a podcast with your friend?
Yeah, oh, those are such great questions. Deb and I just celebrated 16 years on Psychic Teachers, which is
Congratulations.
just absolutely amazing. We met because I took one of her tarot classes, and I just really enjoyed the way she taught, and we had a lot in common and a lot not in common, if that makes sense. So she was a professor of social work. She was headed up the department at our university, and I taught English. So we had that in common. We had a love of education and students and teaching and diving into all of that. But we're also very, very different. She's pagan, I'm Catholic. She's very outspoken. I'm a little bit more not outspoken than she is. And so we kind of had this fire and ice going on. And I remember saying to her, gosh, you and I are so grounded and normal and practical, and we're not charting our life by the cycles of the moon or Mercury retrograde. And yet every teacher we went to was kind of living up here in woo-woo fairyland, and I said, we need to meet people like us. And that's how we started the podcast. We were like, let's just start talking about what we've learned and do it from an educated, academic background, and we'll find more of those people. And we did. Denise and I met because we were at a conference with John Holland teaching about mediumship. And I don't know, I kind of got there a little bit late, like maybe 5 minutes late, which I hate to do. But I remember standing in the back, and there was just this one woman in the front right who was glowing. Like, her aura was just glowing. And I just went and sat down next to her. And when we had a break, I said, let's go have lunch. And we've been friends for a decade now.
Oh
So
my
it was just
heavens.
absolutely perfect the way we met. And
You're
I think
following the
so.
glow. We're going. And speaking of glowing with the flow, hold that dream. See you on the other side of this ad break. We'll be right back.
UK House Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Wake up, dreamers. We're back. Don't fall asleep during this show. No way. Teresa, we're back.
We're back. Dream Terminators. That's what we are. We are.
We'll be back and we are back.
Well, resurrection. We're resurrection, you know. Anyway, back to the conversation. Don't let my tentacles muddle things.
Okay. So one thing that I loved about your book, Heavenly Alliances. There was in the introduction of the book, Samantha, you talked about if you're having a hard time sleeping, here's something you can do. And this is one of the things that I teach in my own way in dreamifesting, because so many people suffer for not being able to sleep. And you had this great idea, pray for somebody. Pray for somebody else other than yourself. And there's a great story that follows. Can you give us a little tidbit
of that? Yeah, sure. So when I was a kid, I was an anxious sleeper, and I would often go to my dad and be like, I can't sleep, what do I do? And he would usually tell me, say a prayer for someone else and you'll fall asleep. And maybe he made that up, I don't know, just a frustrated dad at 4 a.m, you know, just say an Our Father and go to bed. But I always listened to him and it worked. I would fall asleep. So on the show, we do a monthly Q&A and we would get this question a lot. You know, I'm having trouble sleeping, blah, blah, blah. And I gave that suggestion, and I still get emails from people saying, I can't believe how that works. But one email I will never, ever, ever forget, Kelly, and it was a listener who said that she couldn't sleep. She said a prayer for, and she just said, I pray that this energy of love goes out to whoever needs it, you know, right now. And the next morning she receives an email. It's to her email address and it is her first name. And it's from a young woman who believes she's writing to another woman with that name. And she's telling her about her ideas of ending her life. And my listener friend emailed her back and told her the whole story, and including her own story of having those own thoughts when she was a teen as well. But she said, if I went to sleep praying for anyone to feel love, and that prayer went to you, apparently, because you emailed me by mistake, then doesn't that mean there is a greater force out there that loves you and cares for you and that you're going to get through this just like I did? And the two of them exchanged emails, and I'm happy to report that young woman is completely on the other side of that terrible dark night of the soul she was going through. But it's just one example of not only the power of our intentions, but the power of prayer.
Oh, and it's like the Buddhists say, if you want a blessing for yourself, bless one for somebody else. So yeah, your book is full of so many wonderful stories like this. And I know Margarita's read every single word of all of them.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely.
I'm not stalking you at all.
Your biggest fan, Samantha. Honestly, I'm sitting here beaming at you.
I'm so honored. Wow.
So I suppose I have so many questions. But I suppose what I'd really love to ask you, Samantha, is that I know that you are the mother to three beautiful girls. And how have you navigated raising the next generation of intuitive, strong women? And have your girls influenced you? Because this next generation, I don't know, some of them, with the girls I'm meeting, they're a lot stronger than I was as a teenager. They know their own minds. They know, you know, what's going, they're not, if I could go back and teach myself a lesson, it would be with this generation. So over to
you, Mama. I completely agree. Yeah, no, I completely agree. This new generation is going to rock and roll us forward, and I think a very, very good direction. So thank you for asking that question. I always say the only thing I'm proud of in my life are my three beautiful baby girls, and they are all intuitive in their own ways. And I have chosen to let them recognize and see their abilities and to trust them, which they have. And it has helped them tremendously in terms of choosing friendships, dating partners, jobs, majors in college, things like that. But they all choose to exhibit it and use it in different ways. And so I feel like you can just lay the information out there, and if they want to come and partake of it, they can. But I never ever forced anything that I believe onto them in any way when it comes to my spirituality or my religion or my opinions. I really believe that our children come through us, not from us, and they are a gift to us for however long we get to enjoy them. And so I've never taken ownership over them, or you have to, or you should. And so we have a very respectful, almost egalitarian relationship, whereas they still know I'm the mom, but we all still kind of come together. I call us the Mighty Mighty Fae Girls, so we're quite the team. But yes, you're right. This new generation is tremendous in how they really do learn to recognize their own inner strength. And I think we all can learn from that.
Thank you, Samantha. You are a dream mama and
I'm a
a
dream.
dream diva. You are, more than qualified for that title. It's been an absolute joy. I wish we had longer. And you must come back because this is just the tip here of the iceberg. There's so much more. But it's always time with this show. I do hope you stick around for our next guest, the wonderful Andrew Harvey. But anyone listening, Samantha, what's the best place for people to find out about you? And the best, I know you've written several books, the best one to start with.
Okay, thank you so much. I really appreciate getting to meet you all and be on here. It's such an honor and such a great group. The best way is to find me on my website, samanthafay.com. My last name is spelt Fey, like Tina Fey, no relation.
It's great.
And probably Heavenly Alliance is the best one to start one with, because that one teaches you that you really are the creator of your life, and how to get in touch with that anger and that love to braid your life into the beautiful light it should be. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Samantha and
Thank you.
Margarita, our British dream here. Thank you so much for joining. Margarita, thank you so much for joining it. And I love the fact that you two have connected now and seen each other. It's wonderful. And we're going to stay in the dreamy, mystical space right now, but just shift the energy a little. Going to play a piece of music that perfectly captures the feeling of stepping into a deeper mystery, into something ancient, symbolic, and profoundly transformational. And as I struggle with my French, Kelly, speak a
I'm going to
little
try to
from
pronounce it.
French.
I have been
Here we go.
practicing Duolingo, so let's see.
Okay.
It's Chevalier de Sangreal
Oh,
from
I
the
love
Da Vinci
that.
Code
I can't
soundtrack.
do that.
Let it take you on a journey into your dreamscape. Take it away,
Take it away,
Johan.
Johan.
Thank you.
My goodness, I love that piece. I could just picture in my dreaming mind Tom Hanks as Robert Langdon running through the streets of Rome, like in Dan Brown's amazing novel, The Da Vinci Code. We should have them on the show, by the way.
Tom Hanks, no problem. I'm on it.
Okay, great.
But
take it away.
We actually have someone far more inspiring than him, Brown and Robert Langdon combined. We have Andrew Harvey. And, you know, I'm so delighted he's here because he's an internationally renowned religious scholar, writer and teacher, and a best-selling Hay House author of more than 30 books. He is the founder and director of the Institute for Sacred Activism. His latest title, The Magdalene Revolution, explores the rebirth of radical equality, a message that echoes the deeper themes many will recognize from that beloved movie, The Da Vinci Code, but takes them into a profound spiritual and activist dimension for our times. And do you know, Andrew, right now, as we're broadcasting this live, the very first female Archbishop of Canterbury. And we didn't know that when we booked you.
So thrilling, isn't it? And she's such a marvelous spokesperson for the sacred feminine because she's so wise, she's so grounded, and she's so real.
But
she's going to
how did we do that,
stir
the three
things
of us
up
combined?
In the most beautiful world. I'm sorry?
We are precognitive. Our tentacles are
all of our tentacles are connected.
But sometimes God keeps his best secrets.
Amazing.
Welcome, Andrew, to the healing power of your dreams. It's such an honor to have you, as I've admired your work many years. And I feel like it's the Holy Trinity a bit here because Kelly and myself are both theologians as well. My degree from Cambridge was in theology, and Kelly, you're an ordained minister. Mm-hmm. And Andrew, you know, you're a religious scholar, an esteemed one. But let's just jump right in with your latest title, The Magdalene Revolution. What made you want to write it? I think I know the answer to that, but why now?
Well, first of all, I'm absolutely delighted to be with you all. And it was such joy to listen to Samantha because she gave us all such a masterclass in the sacred feminine, in her embrace of the fullness of the feminine, the rage as well as the tenderness, and in her unbelievable tenderness and her exquisite practicality. Everything was there. And I was so happy to be in her presence because one of the things that writing this book, The Magdalene Revolution, has taught me is to be on the look for the rising Magdalenes, the ones who are really claiming the fullness of their feminine power. And I found that so beautifully and stunningly represented in Samantha. You asked me why I wrote this book. And I can only tell you, and I'm so glad I can tell you, because it's a strange thing to confess, but it began in a major life-changing, life-shattering vision. I can only describe it like that. What happened was in the year 2000, I was taking a group of ragtag pilgrims around France to visit the apparition sites and to be with Mary and also the Black Madonna. But we also wanted to be with Mary Magdalene and went down into the south of France. And we came to the place, the cave of Saint-Baume, where she spent the last 30 years of her life in retreat. And I went into the cave. It's a huge, gorgeous cave. And great peace descended, and then I came out and I read what the Catholic Church had said about what she was up to in the cave. And as far as they were concerned, what she was up to is being very penitent for herself, renouncing herself, beating herself up for what she'd been up to in her youth. And something in me just boiled over with sacred rage. How could the church continued to tell this absurd story about the woman who had seen Jesus at the resurrection, who had anointed him, who had been declared already, even by the patriarchal boys' club, the apostle of the apostles. How could she be miserable when she'd seen her beloved transfigured by the resurrection light? This was, for me, an intolerable situation. So I went down the valley, still boiling with rage, and I turned and I saw her. I saw this huge tower of a woman standing in front of the cave, golden in gold, radiating this golden light from her that then spread through the entire landscape and lit up the entire landscape. This was with my open eyes. And I had no idea what to do with such a momentous vision, because it showed me a Mary Magdalene that was far vaster than anything I had ever imagined. A Mary Magdalene who incarnated the divine feminine, the motherhood of God, in the way that Jesus incarnated the tender father. And it took me 20 years of wrestling with this vision. I never spoke about it. I dived into strange libraries. I read weird texts from the third century. I plunged into the Gnostic Gospels. And finally, 5 years ago, I felt I'm brave enough to go out there and tell the greatest story ever told. I'm brave enough at last. And I don't care what they think at this moment, because she has shown me herself. I'm brave enough to go out with a vision of her that restores her to her glory, that restores the true sacred tantric ecstatic relationship between her and Jesus, that restores her to the center of the story and shows us that the story is not only about him, it is marvelously about him, but it's also about her and him and her after he died, where she became a full female Christ in her own right, went to France, did miracles, preached, and then in the end of her life went into this cave. And there, what she was doing, as I've tried to explain in the book, is she had seen the resurrection, and now she was knitting the resurrection light to her mind, to her heart, to her body, so that it could become part of the human DNA and the DNA of matter.
I can feel your passion. As you speak, yes. It's so exciting.
I am so in love with her. You have to be in love
with her. I can tell. I can feel it. And I love that energy. I love people who embody what they preach. This is not theory to you. I can tell that.
Oh, God, it's not theory. None of my books have been theory. I'm a scholar, but I've gone into scholarship to discover what's happening in me. I'm a mystic. I'm a mystical teacher and radical revolutionary of mysticism, an evolutionary mystic. And everything I've done has been to try and bring back a far richer vision of who we are, what we can do, and why now, you ask me. Well, we are in the major evolutionary crisis of our entire adventure. It's quite clear if we go on in the consciousness that we are now possessed by, we will create mega disaster and ensure our destruction. But it's also quite clear that if we pay attention at the deepest level to the deepest revelations of the different systems, and especially to the evolutionary mystics who tell us three things. They tell us that we are inherently divine. We have supreme consciousness as original blessing. They tell us that the divine's deepest dream is to birth a divine humanity on earth. And they tell us, and this is what is thrilling, they tell us that this is the time, because it's the time when the old story, the patriarchal story, with its lust for domination, with its dissociation from life, with its hunger for more and more, is revealing its complete bankruptcy. And at this moment, through the suffering and the chaos that we're all going through, a great longing is arising in millions of people for a balanced vision of God that honors the divine feminine, for a religion or a mysticism that embodies you and helps you sanctify the body and helps you express your love being with great passion and truth.
Yeah, Andrew, I'm just going to try. It feels like happening. A sin, actually, to stop you, because you are so eloquent. I can see you on a pulpit, and I just drinking this in. But unfortunately,
don't think of me on the pulpit. I'm a dancer. I don't want to be a pulpit. I want to be a dancer.
Hold that vision, everyone, because we have to take an ad break. But we will see you on the other side. Stay with us.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So wonderful to be back. I am so loving this conversation.
Wake up, dreamers.
Wake up, dreamers. I'm waking up. Sorry. Wake up, dreamers.
Dream we are like dreaming. Dream.
This is such a dream. This is such a healing power of dreams on UK yes. Health Radio. Andrew Harvey, your presence, your books, I feel like I'm changing. I grew up Catholic. I wanted to be a nun. I was, I did. That was my,
we've not shared that. Sorry. Yeah.
Yes.
I considered my options. I went that far.
What? I'm learning things.
Anyway, not about me. Not about me.
And Pearl is learning from this as well. But there was so much. I mean, I feel like I struggled with the Madonna whore complex my whole life. And there's something about, you know, I mean, I believed, I always loved Jesus. Jesus was my guy. And Mary Magdalene was the poor whore that he had pity on.
Oh, and, such rubbish, yes.
And to think of the whole story rewritten, it's rewriting me. So what would happen if the world got a hold of this book and really drank it in? What do you imagine this shift in archetypal awareness of who Mary Magdalene was within us and as a being would do for humanity?
The world is getting this book. It's having a massive impact because it's not a book written in the bath. It took me 25 years to bring together all of the visions, all of the sources. And I had to go through a 5-year incredibly grueling process to be able to get the sequence right. So what's happening to so many people, women and men, is that they are waking up to a central truth about God and about the human nature. The central truth about God, which is consecrated in all the mystical traditions, is that there is one reality, but it works through opposites that seem very different, but are also secretly interconnected. And what that means for humanity, and that we know this from the Gnostic Gospels and from deep contemplation and experience, is that every human being, whether they're male or female, is invited to marry the opposites that are dancing in God to create reality in themselves. So they, and this is what's so amazing, so they can experience directly, embodiedly, being human and divine.
Which is why I was, sorry, Andrew, I'm just going to leave.
No, I'm going to answer this, Teresa, sure. Because I was asked a question, darling, and this is an important, forgive me, and I'd love to hear what you have to say.
No, I just wanted to make a point, yeah.
No, I want to make this point. This is what, if you really understand this, then you understand, oh my God, what is open to me is something so much more immense, whether I'm a man or a woman, than I imagined. And my book is a celebration of the seven marriages that Jesus and Mary had, like Russian dolls inside each other, to give us a vision of what can become capable for us when we do this marvelous work of marrying our inner Jesus to our completely empowered, passionate, sensual, transcendent, loving, passionate Mary Magdalene. What happens inside you? When you imagine that marriage, what happens is there is a soft nuclear explosion of love energy that blesses your mind, that opens your soul and heart, and that penetrates deep inside your body to activate your body's own divine consciousness. So you become the marriage of opposites, and you start living with the courage and vitality and panache and passion and compassion and fearlessness that you've never imagined yourself capable of. And that's what the book is about. It's not just about them, it's about them in us, and what understanding a little about what they were doing can bring to us, that in this terrifying moment when we're facing the potential destruction of humanity, when we need courage, when we need joy, when we need energy, go to the source of truth. And that's what I've tried to do in this book, and that's what I've tried to make available to everybody.
Well, thank you, Andrew, and apologies for jumping in there. It was in my excitement.
Oh, sweetheart, no, forgive
me. I just
me.
Wanted to.
Just, but also, I love the octopus in you.
But it's just my excitement because we're talking about the sacred feminine, but we need the sacred masculine. And that's why our guest presenter, Phil, who's been patiently waiting here, so eager to talk
Phil.
To you. He's our actor, intuitive coach, and author. And I was very keen for this show when I was talking with Kelly about it, to have this balance of the male energy as well, when we're talking about the sacred feminine. So Phil, I just want to hand it over to you now to talk to Andrew, man to man.
Man to man.
Kind of, if people could see this, he does have kind of
anthropos, yes.
He's got kind of a
thank
Jesus
you. Thanks,
vibe
Teresa
going.
And Kelly.
Thanks, Jesus vibe. Oh, my goodness.
heard that once or twice, but yeah. So you guys have covered so much of what I wanted to ask Andrew already. So I hope I'm not just going to kind of rehash it in a different way. But what I'm very much enjoying the book. And one thing that that I found interesting, and you talk about having mystical experiences, and you mentioned how often those who are commissioned by the divine are never those who seem qualified for the function. I would argue that you're I would say that you're the perfect person to bridge the gap after, you know, having such a diverse understanding of different theologies. But and also I see parallel
it's nothing to do with the theologies. It's honestly, Phil, let's get real. I wouldn't have spent 40 years of my life as a theologian. I've poured out 42 books because I woke up. And I woke up to the divine light, and I woke up to the mystical truth of reality, and I wanted to know what all the other people had woken up in all the traditions. So I'm not a theologian, I'm not an intellectual, I'm somebody who's bringing the full resources of my whole being to birth a vision of evolutionary transformation for humanity.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Sorry, I'm just so tired of being talked about as a scholar. Look at me. Does this look like a scholar to you? Is a person who is alive. I've got my glasses. I can do that if you want. But I'm not that. I am somebody who is alive with the presence of what has been graced to me.
No, and definitely, and that really comes through in the book. I feel that everything that you've done before, and forgive me for not just wrapping it all up in a bow, but it seems like this is what you've been heading to, like all your whole
this
life.
This is a distillation of a lifetime search, and yeah. It brings together all the themes that I know are essential for us now.
Mm-hmm. And so, just going back to that, and obviously this is really the topic of today, but as we speak today amidst a very unstable climate, how can we transform like our personal subjective experiences into what you've called sacred activism, and that could essentially heal us? Are we heading towards a matriarchal society? Is that the answer?
It's nothing to do with the matriarchal or patriarchal culture. The whole point of my book, and forgive me if I get excited again, it's, look, the big question before all of us, and especially if you're in your 70s, and you've dedicated your whole life to the spirit, is not what we have to do. It's who do we have to be able to do what we are now challenged to do, which is to get off our cushions and asses while fascism and authoritarianism and crazed billionaires plunge the world into apocalyptic chaos. But if we're not strong enough, if we're not joyful enough, if we're not aligned enough, if we're not coming to this great adventure, not out of reactivity, but out of joy, out of a vision of what's possible, then our sacred activism will not be passionate enough, will not be wise enough, will not be embodied enough. So what I've been trying to do for all of these years is to offer the different elements of truth that I believe helps a human being become autonomous, become aware of their divine humanity, become brave, become fearless. Mm. Because what I see all around me is a lot of talk, a lot of beautiful people saying beautiful things, but I don't see the only thing that could possibly prevent chaos now, and that is a worldwide global revolution of love in action inspired by the highest mystical truth. Mm-hmm. That is what I have been doing for 40 years, trying to offer the different aspects of that. And this book is the culmination, because in the end and at the beginning, what will ensure the birth of a new human race are people who are already birthing that human race inside themselves through the marriage of opposites, through the reclamation of the full power of the sacred feminine. And as they birth themselves, they emanate truth and presence, and their actions model the new kind of wise action that we're going to need to be able to come out of this terrifying birth process as intact as possible and as radiant as possible.
Lovely. Yeah. I mean, I think that's covered so much of everything that I wanted to ask. To just bring it back to the book, which again, I'm still very much enjoying.
The book is a manifesto of all of this, because who could have lived a more in divine life and a more sacred activist life than both Mary Magdalene and Jesus? They gave.
Yeah.
Everything, but they didn't give it out of anger only or out of outrage only. They gave it out of a profound inner experience of divinity and a profound revelation of what the world could be if people really claimed their divinity, worked together, came together to create out of a new consciousness a world that reflected harmony and justice. That's what we are being challenged to be strong enough to do. And my book is a manifestation and a manifesto of the different ways in which you can start building that inner strength so that you can rise to the challenge of the times and live out your human divine life with a great deal of chutzpah.
Lovely. Well, I guess I'll hand this back to Teresa and Kelly.
Phil, thank you.
I want to jump in and just say that I'll never think of wine in the same way ever again. Every time I have a glass of wine, which hopefully will be, you know, often, but not too often, I'll think about how Jesus turned the water into wine.
Water
that was in
wine.
You talk about that in the Magdalene Revolution, that story. I had never heard that story told in quite that way, that this was his first miracle prompted by his mother. And that's when Mary Magdalene came in. I mean, people have to hear it in your voice. Your book is not just a book to read. It's a book to listen to as well, and it's a book to embody. So can you say something about wine? Because you're near Champaign, Illinois, which is where, you know, my husband's from. You've got the, well, you're fizzing.
Look, one of the great excitements about writing this book is about discovering the relevance of his first miracle at the marriage of Cana. It's in St. John's Gospel. And in St. John's Gospel, you have a wonderful account of him going to this wedding, the wine running out, his mother saying to him, do something about this. And he's reluctant, but he obeys her. And it's his first miracle. That's what we know. But what I discovered when I plunged in is that, look, so extraordinary that his first miracle, which after all would set the tone for all the others, is done at a marriage that symbolizes the union of two opposites, two people. And that shows us that the whole boys' club demonization of the body and of sexuality is psychotic madness. Why would the incarnation of the divine's first miracle be at a marriage if there was any doubt about the holiness of the body and the potential transformative power of human sexuality? It's insane. Then I understood and plunged into what wine meant. And wine has been, for the Middle East and for many, many mystical systems, a marvelous image of ecstasy. The alteration of your perception that wine brings is what happens in mystical perception. You see the world drunk with joy.
Which
and
is
what
a great...
Jesus was doing by changing the water into wine, what he was doing, and this is where the next fact, which I'm going to give you to blow your mind, really, really comes in.
Which you'll have to do very quickly before we get cut off. We have 30 seconds.
He was turning the water of ordinary sexuality into divine sexuality. And we know now from the Gospel of the Beloved Companion that the marriage of Cana was his marriage to Mary Magdalene.
Well, so Andrew,
the fullness of what comes together in all of that.
I'm absolutely drunk.
Thank you. The Magdalene Revolution. Check it out, everyone. Andrew, you will have to come back again. Kelly, what an extraordinary show with two remarkable guests and different in their
so
way.
So honored to have been with Samantha.
Thank you.
And not to mention the octopi or the octopuses.
Somewhere out there, an octopus is dreaming, Kelly.
It made me very jealous.
It's so exciting. It's just, this show reminds me that dreams are not just something we do at night. It's a way of living, and we can dream inside.
We're dreaming right now. What could be a bigger dream than the Magdalene Revolution? In the middle of all this madness, to bring in a vision of unity and harmony, we have to dream with our whole lives.
We have a new dream diva on board. Of course, we'll be back next week, everyone, live on UK Health Radio, continuing this journey into the healing power of your dreams. And next week is April Fool's Day, so expect the unexpected like a dream, Kelly.
Sweet octopus dreams, everyone. And remember, don't take your dreams lying down.
Okay.